From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Southeast Alaska's annual economic conference is taking place in Sitka this week. For 3 days, people from around the region will explore economic drivers like tourism and the seafood industry. One of the sessions on Tuesday looked at economic factors like jobs and business challenges. The region has seen steady job growth over the last 5 years, but the workforce isn't keeping up. The problem points to a demographic shift, says Melani Shivens. She owns the Juneau-based research and consulting firm Raincoast Data and presented at the conference.
Our number one economic problem is our declining younger people.
Most of the region's jobs are in the government sector, including federal, state, local, and tribal. That's followed by tourism, healthcare, and then seafood. But there aren't enough young people to fill the jobs. The region is aging. In Petersburg, seniors 65 and older make up a quarter of the population. Shivens says the region lost 7,700 kids and working-age residents in the last decade.
For Southeast Alaska to prosper in the future, we must focus on attracting and retaining a vibrant future population now.
Retention is a major issue. Last year, more people moved out of Juneau than moved in. And Wrangell lost nearly 30% of its workforce over the last 10 years. The top three reasons young people leave: lack of affordable housing, the high cost of living, and lack of affordable childcare, in that order. The average price of a home in Juneau is over $500,000, and in Sitka, it's about $485,000. Shivens says the region's demographics aren't expected to change in the coming years.
We've mapped it out, 25 years where we still have a region without the young people and the workforce that we need. So the only way out of this issue is to build housing.
A landslide triggered by heavy rain and wind took down trees next to an apartment building in downtown Juneau late last night. Although the slide didn't damage homes or hurt anyone, people living in the building are calling it a near miss. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, the street where it happened has a history of landslides.
On Thursday afternoon, Dave Benilla stood outside these Strasbaugh apartments on Gastineau Avenue, smoking a cigarette and gazing at a gash in the mountainside adjacent to the building. He's lived there for more than 5 years. The night before, a torrent of soil, rocks, and large trees slid down Mount Roberts, barely missing the building. Benilla says he really didn't know what had happened.
I have no idea. I was asleep, and it came down, I guess, woke everybody else in the building up, but I was out.
Monica Johnson also lives there with her husband and two young children. She was at work, listening to the police scanner when the landslide struck.
And I hear on the dispatch saying that 265 just reported that a tree and some boulders came down and hit the apartment building next to their house. So I'm looking at Google Maps going, oh my gosh, it's on Gastineau Street.
All of the residents living there were safely evacuated at about 11 p.m. But this isn't the first time they've had to evacuate the building. A landslide occurred in the same spot just last summer. You can still see the scar on the mountainside. Juneau and Gastineau Avenue in particular are prone to landslides. The street is in a severe landslide hazard zone, according to maps the city commissioned in 2022 but didn't adopt. Gastineau Avenue has a long history of landslides. In 2022, a landslide hit three homes and knocked out power on the street. In 1936, Juneau's deadliest landslide killed 15 people and buried parts of downtown in thick mud. And back in 1920, a landslide destroyed 16 buildings on Gastineau Avenue and South Franklin Street, killing four people. Looking at the mountain, Johnson says Wednesday night's landslide has her family looking for a more secure place to live.
All of this has happened to us several times, and anything can come down. Like those two trees on the side, they kind of creep me out, because if those were to fall, they could, smash right into our building.
Ryan O'Shaughnessy is the emergency programs manager at the City and Borough of Juneau. After the landslide, he went to the building with first responders from Capital City Fire and Rescue to assess the damage to the building.
They looked up the slide and identified a bunch of loose material further up the slide path. So some more trees with exposed root wads up the slide path.
O'Shaughnessy says that because more rainfall was expected overnight, he was concerned it could cause more soil and trees to slide downhill. That's when the city decided to evacuate the building. He says the city planned to open an emergency shelter, but the owner of the building booked hotel rooms for the 15 displaced residents instead. The city lifted that evacuation order around 10 a.m. Thursday. O'Shaughnessy returned to the building in the morning to assess the damage.
Very, very little, if any, damage to the building at all.
Last year's landslide caused more damage. Johnson says a tree smashed the electrical box and damaged the foundation. Her family was displaced for more than 2 months while the building was being repaired. O'Shaughnessy says there isn't a way to predict landslides in southeast Alaska yet. But when emergency responders and planners can assess the site and see an imminent threat, they issue evacuation orders to keep people safe. With help from Alex Solomon, I'm Clarice Larson in Juneau.
And a Tlingit master weaver is using viral monster dolls, called Labubus, to bring attention to Chilkat and Raven's Tail weaving. In Lily Hope's shop in downtown Juneau, she holds up a tiny doll with an evil grin.
Some people are like, why? Oh, please, no. Why? It's the, you know, what an ugly monster. And other people are like, oh, please let me have one.
Her shop is filled with pieces of weaving, earrings, formline robes, and pictures of models in more weaving. On her desk lies a green doll wearing a raven's tail headdress, woven in pink, white, and blue yarn.
This one is Trans Pride, requested from an art collector in New York City.
Hope is a master weaver. She dedicated her life to reviving Chilkat and raven's tail weaving, and through apprenticeships and classes, she's helped hundreds of Alaska Native people form their own weaving practice. She's also a mom of five. And those two worlds collided when her kids started asking for Labubus.
My three small children introduced me to the dolls and said, please, mommy, buy these for us.
You may have heard of them. The dolls are all over the internet with their fuzzy bodies, big, colorful eyes, and pointy teeth. They're based on storybook characters. And people go to great lengths to have unique ones. You may have heard this viral sound on TikTok.
I have the one and only 24-karat gold Labubu.
Hope says they come in blind boxes, generic packaging that leaves the contents a mystery. So part of the fun is finding which Labubu is in the box.
Oh, yes, this is the whole rage, right? It's like, oh, I got lychee berry. Oh, I got the green grape. Oh, now we need to get soy milk, Mama. Let's get soy milk.
But in the craze, she saw an opportunity to continue to push Northwest Coast weaving into the spotlight.
When somebody sees an indigenized Labubu in a raven's tail regalia, they can be like, oh, where does that come from? Oh, what are those? Oh, what is raven's tail weaving? Oh, wait, it's related to Chilkat? Let's go.
Tlingit regalia is sacred attire that represents ancestral heritage and cultural identity. Hope's doll-sized regalia sets go for more than $600, and fine arts collectors all over the country are ordering them. But for those who don't want to shell out that much, Hope also sells kits so people can weave their own outfits for a doll.
It's a way to get the work further into the world and kind of, you know, capture some people who wouldn't necessarily come to raven's tail weaving otherwise, but are like, oh, this is a way that I can dress my Labubu in traditional regalia, and I made it myself? That's huge.
It's a way of weaving your own story into the trend. And the little monsters look pretty cool, too. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Kremery. And former Alaska Attorney General Treg Taylor filed to join the 2026 race for governor on Wednesday morning. Taylor is the 10th Republican to enter the race to replace his former boss, Governor Mike Dunleavy. Taylor was Dunleavy's attorney general for more than 4 years and says he could hit the ground running.
I know what the issues are that we face. We definitely need to get the economy moving again. We need to create good paying jobs. We need an affordable, reliable source of energy and to get the cost of living down. And we need to get Juneau working again and not be politics as usual.
Taylor touts his work challenging the Biden administration's restrictions on resource development and his collaboration with the Trump administration. He echoes much of Dunleavy's approach to improving the state's education system. He said he's focused on improving students' performance as governor rather than seeking to boost funding for public schools. Taylor and his family have also backed efforts to allow students to use state homeschool funding for tuition at private and religious schools. That's the subject of an ongoing lawsuit. Taylor says he'd like to take a serious look at the state's spending as the state continues to face a budget crunch. He says he'd also like to scrutinize federal spending that flows into the state.
What, you know, some people might call free money. Well, it's not free. It comes with purse strings, one. And two, it's paid for by taxpayers like you and I. And so we need to look and see what the cost of that money is to the state and whether those programs and those things are worth to the state.
Taylor joins 9 other Republican candidates and 1 Democrat seeking to succeed Dunleavy, who's term limited. The top 4 vote-getters in the August 2026 primary will advance to the general election in November. And Alaskans, and really the rest of the world, can expect a La Niña climate pattern this winter. That could mean a potentially cooler-than-average winter. According to the National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center, there's a 71% chance of a La Niña setting in by October. The center updated its forecast last Friday from essentially a coin flip chance to now saying a La Nina is more likely than not. Climate researcher Brian Bretschneider says what that means for Alaskans is still unclear.
It historically would generally mean cooler falls in Alaska and cooler winters. That hasn't worked out the last couple of times. And so I like to say that it puts the thumb on the scale, but sometimes that thumb slips off the scale and it just doesn't work out.
Bretschneider says that's not just because the Earth's climate is warmer now than it used to be. A La Nina only accounts for some of the variability across an entire winter. Other things, like increased tropical cyclone activity, sea ice distribution, or a polar vortex can overwhelm that. And even though La Nina winters tend to favor drier conditions, they sometimes produce more snow in Alaska. Here's Bretschneider again.
If you have the same amount of precipitation, but it's colder, then you get more snow. You're converting more of the would-be rain into snow. And then also generally when it's colder, to a point, you get more efficient snow crystal production, and so you get fluffier snow.
In Anchorage, one of the top three snowiest winters on record was a La Nina, while another was its counterpart, El Nino, which tends to produce warmer, wetter winters. And Bretschneider said, the warmest winter on record in Alaska was during a La Nina. So the climate prediction can only point to what is likely to happen. And as for the weather in Juneau today, it's 50 degrees and raining. And we're expecting some more rain tonight and tomorrow. Saturday, that looks like it'll turn into some heavy rain, the National Weather Service warns. The rest of the weekend, it might lighten up a little bit. You're listening to KTOO. For more local, regional, and statewide news, go to ktoo.org. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Yvonne Crumery.